I'm going to take lots of sips this morning. I've got a little bit of a dry throat, so voice is crackling. You guys help me there a little bit in the back. Give me a little bit more oomph so I don't have to project as much. So good to see you guys. I'm excited that you're here in the house of the Lord this morning. And I believe God's got something very special for us this morning. Would you believe that? I believe that. I believe God's got something very unique and special for us as a body believers this morning. I believe life will be changed this morning. You know why? Because Jesus is coming and He's stopping by. He's stopping by. He's not just passing through. He's making it a point to stop here at church this morning. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you knew Jesus had an assignment, an appointment, and He was going to stop here today, this morning, would you not have made sure that you were here on time? Right? I mean, I would. I mean, if I knew that Jesus was going to stop by here this morning, I mean, I'd be here at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll be making sure I'm ready. I'm making sure that coffee is ready, just in case. Just never know. You might want to come here and have a cup of coffee. Coffee and Jesus always go, you know, they go well together, right? So anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. But if you got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10. And in this passage here, Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. Okay, next Sunday we're going to celebrate what we call this Palm Sunday, correct? So He's on His way to Jerusalem, and He makes a stop. He stops somewhere. From the account here, we know that it is in this within the gates of Jericho. He made a stop there for a specific reason. And the title of our message this morning is actually when Jesus stops just for you. Would you believe that? That God can actually stop everything just for someone here this morning. He can. And He's done it so many times. I can tell you so many times in my personal life where Jesus Himself stopped and He noticed me. He didn't just pass me by, but He noticed that Shannon was there. And He stopped. He turned around and He looked at me. I want you to catch this picture, as you're going about your day, that Jesus, the Creator of heaven and earth Himself, will stop, turn around, and look at you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you're on your way to work, that Jesus Himself, as you're heading out to work, He turns around and He looks at you. What a picture. What a picture. But this is not so far out that we think that this is impossible, because Jesus does it all the times. He stops. And He turns around. And He looks at you. How many of you have experienced when you're going on a journey and you plan your journey around the stops that you're going to make? Especially if you're on a long journey, you're heading out for a long, 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 long journey. You plan that journey around the stops that you're going to make. Many of you are going to be transitioning out of Kodiak very soon. And you're going to be driving to your destination, wherever you're heading. Or you'll be driving down the Alkanes, the Alaskan Highway. And you're going to be planning your journey around the places where you're going to stop. I've made many journeys in my life where I had to plan my journey around the places where I need to stop. And sometimes I did not. I just had to stop because I had no idea where I was going. And in general, man, we tend not to stop to ask for direction. We tend to follow our gut instinct, because we believe that we are wired in such a way that we can never second guess ourselves, right? Because behind the wheel, we feel compelled to keep on driving. Right? That's the way we are. We are compelled to keep on driving. Well, the children of Israel did the same thing. For 39 years and 11 months, they kept on going around in circle until Moses' wife. Read it, it's in the Word. Stopped by and asked for direction. Oh, long, long, long time ago, I was on a journey to not Cleveland, Tennessee, but Memphis, Tennessee. And there was a lot of construction on the road, and I'm driving. And I felt compelled to keep on driving. Even though I knew inside right here that I was going in the wrong direction. I just kept on going until I got to a place in a bad part of town. And I stopped. And I asked for direction. I saw this, I pulled to the side of the road and I saw this car. I mean, that was late at night and I'm trying to find my hotel and I lost my way. Saw this car, like a, you know, those low riders? I saw one of those on the side of the road and I went and tinted windows, you know? So I went and windows goes down and a big puff of smoke comes out. And the person looked at me and he just went like this. At the same time, there's this cop that was driving by. He saw me. Lights went on, turned around, and met me right there and said, "Sir, you lost your way." So that night, I had a police escort to my hotel. Nice, right? I was so thankful that he stopped. He turned around and saw me. He's like, "Don't go back there again." Yes, sir. Not heading back there. I forgot my point of that story, but the thing is, you just keep on going. I don't know what's the moral of that story, but stop in the right place. Here it is. Stop in the right place. And I believe many of you here are in the right place where Jesus himself would stop, turn around, and show you the right way where you need to go. Amen? Because when Jesus stops, it is not to ask for direction. He already knows the way. When he stops, it's because somebody needs direction. After all, the Word of God says that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. I'm so glad that Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And that certainly includes me. I tend to get lost once in a while when I'm going. Like I'm getting lost right now in my message where I don't know where I'm heading. And thank God he shows up and he shows me where I need to go. If you got your Bible, let's turn to Mark chapter 10. That's where we begin our story here this morning. I think you've missed that. I think he's lost. We already passed that. We already passed that marker. Okay, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, "Now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." In the crowd, whenever you see the word crowd or multitude in the Bible, means that no one could count. Too many to count. But out of too many to count, there was this guy by the name of Bartimaeus. I know we had this conversation last night about how to pronounce the name Bartimaeus. I don't know why we eliminate the middle part there. It's Bartimaeus. I don't know if he's right, but I'm gonna call it Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Not Bartimaeus or whatever you guys call that. It's Bartimaeus. And he was blind. We don't know his real name, okay? We don't know his real name. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. Timaeus in Hebrew means someone who is important. Right? He's the son of someone who is important. He himself is not important, but he's the son of someone who is important. We don't know his real name, but out of the synoptic gospel, Mark is the only one who actually calls him by some kind of reference, some kind of name, because I believe he said that name because it has some kind of significance. Because I believe maybe Bartimaeus right now, as a beggar sitting there, probably doesn't know how significant he is, even as a blind person. Sitting down there, waiting for people to pass by so that he can receive something. He's begging. And that's his only source of income, because Bartimaeus, we don't know for a fact, but we believe that Bartimaeus was born blind. He was born that way. He was born with this physical condition where he was not able to see. We don't know much about his parents, the way that he was raised and brought up, but we can assume that him begging at this stage of his life, probably he didn't have enough. His parents did not have enough. So his only course of finding a way to provide for himself was to sit at the gates of Jericho and beg. Because a blind man of this age, of this time, they could not work. They could not get married. They could not have children. They could not have a normal life, as normal as we can have if somebody today was blind. There was no social security system. There was no disability that he can get access to. The only thing that he could do was to sit there by the gates of Jericho and wait for the crowd to pass by. Being blind in those days was an identity that you carry. It was really like a death sentence. Because if you're blind, you're going to be blind for the rest of your life. Being blind in those days was a punishment that you bear, a curse. In verse 47, it says, when he heard, because remember, he's blind. People who are blind, they are more acute in other ways of sensing things. So he heard from the crowd, from the movement of people around him, that there was something unique happening that day. It was not a normal crowd. It was not a normal crowd that he was used to. He knew at that day that Jesus himself was passing by. He knew. He knew deep inside that that day was a special day just for him. So he was waiting for that new crowd to pass by, and he recognized that there was something different. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He heard that. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him, be quiet. Be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. First of all, let's look at the way that he addressed Jesus. He could have addressed Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, by the hometown. Jesus, son of Joseph. And that would have been right. That would have been right, because when Jesus ministered in Capernaum, his hometown, guess what? He was not very well received because they were too familiar with him. They knew that he was Jesus, the son of Mary, the son of Joseph. That's the way they understood Jesus. Isn't he the guy that we used to play with and tease? So they were too familiar with him. But here, a blind man recognized Jesus as something else. Or as someone else here. Jesus, son of David. He's calling Jesus as the seed of King David. Now when you read this, he must have had some deep insight of something was different about this crowd that was coming. Something was different because Jesus of Nazareth was coming with that crowd. That changed everything. We could have a crowd of people gathered around for something, but if Jesus is in the midst of it, it changes everything. What makes the church different is not just a group of people gathering. It's a group of people gathering because of him. He's the center of everything. And when Jesus gathers and he's in the middle of all of it, it's different. Things change. He's referring to Jesus here as the promised Messiah. The crowd warned him to be quiet, and you wonder why. Why would the crowd warn a blind man who is expecting something different to be quiet? Because in those days, people, they believed that an illness or a disability, they were a punishment from God. They were punishment from God is the way that they believed. They believed that it must be something that Bartimaeus himself did. That's why he's being punished. Or maybe something that his ancestors did. And that's the reason why he's being punished. So they ask him to be quiet. Just fit in. Why would you be loud? Just be quiet. And do what you're supposed to do. Carry out your sentence. Bear the burden that you're supposed to bear. But Bartimaeus refused. He cried out even more. Have mercy on me. You see, Bartimaeus was not blind. He was not blind. He was not blind spiritually. He might have been blind physically because he could not see anything. But spiritually speaking, he saw this as an opportunity to receive something that everyone else denied him of. And that was mercy. He saw that as an opportunity to receive mercy that everyone else in that crowd was denying him of. He saw this as an opportunity to receive mercy from God himself. He cried out, "Have mercy on me." The word mercy here is referring to the forgiveness of sins. It's not just the mercy that, like, okay, mercy, mercy, mercy. Somebody's squeezing your hand and you're like, your arm or whatever it is, and like, you cry out, "Mercy, basically, leave me alone. Stop." Here, this kind of mercy is referring to take away my sin. Forgive me of my sin. Don't push onto me what I justly deserve. That's a new level of mercy. The kind of mercy that only God himself can give to mankind. And here Bartimaeus is crying out for that kind of mercy. A level of mercy that can only come from God himself. Show mercy on me. Listen to how Jesus reacts. So Jesus stood still. Jesus just stood still. Jesus just stops right there. Because there's a kind of cry. There's a kind of cry. There's a kind of shout that will cause Jesus to stop. That will cause Jesus to stop, turn around, and look at you. There's a kind of cry for help where God himself, the way maker, the miracle worker, would stop, turn around, and look at you. So Bartimaeus at this point saw this as an opportunity to receive mercy from God. Mercy from God. Can you imagine for a moment that the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, would just stop. Stop everything just for you. Just for you. So no matter what you might be going through, no matter what pain that you might be going through right now, God himself would stop everything just to address that pain. Just to provide a way out of the situation that you might feel even today that you're stuck. You haven't been able to get out of this trap of the enemy. Where Jesus himself stops by, turns around and looks at you is to give you a key. So that you can get out of that place that you've been locked in for a long, long time. This is how Paul addressed that shout, that cry, that call that you and I, we have when we call on the name of Jesus. In Romans 10, verse 13, powerful scripture. Powerful scripture. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Blind Bartimaeus got Jesus to stop for him. He called on the name of Jesus. He called Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, the Messiah, the true, the one and only Messiah, the one that we've been waiting on, the one and only God. He called on his name. And because of him calling on the name of God, Jesus just stopped, stood still. He got Jesus' attention because of him calling on the name of Jesus. For years, Bartimaeus watched people pass him by and not stopping to show him mercy. For years, he watched his friends grow old, have a family of their own, and him feeling like he's left behind, begging for crumbs. For years, he was ashamed of his condition. He could not get out because, remember, that was a sentence on his life, to be blind for the rest of his life. It was a curse that he had to carry just by himself. But he saw this as an opportunity for that curse to be lifted from his life. Perhaps that's you this morning, where you might feel like you're like Bartimaeus, trapped, and everyone is just passing you by. You see everyone succeed and you feel like you've been left behind, always forgotten, and ashamed of your past. And ashamed of your condition. Well, this message is just for you. Just for you. I believe you came here this morning for a reason. A reason because you want to meet this Jesus. You've heard that Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, is going to pass by. And you're here this morning on divine appointment because you want to meet this Jesus. You want to call on his name so that you can see him turn around and face you. When Jesus stops, it's not to bring shame onto you. When he stops, it's not to condemn you. He stops to take the whole thing away. In Romans 10:11, he says, "For whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." When Jesus stops, it is not to put shame on you. When Jesus stops, it is not to condemn you of your past. When Jesus stops for you, it is to put you in right standing with God. It is as if when you're standing as if Jesus himself is standing. Now that's standing on God's righteousness. That is what this is what us as believers, this is what has been promised to you and me. Is that when we stand, we don't stand in the condemnation of our past. We don't stand in the condemnation of our condition. But we stand on the righteousness of Christ himself. So when we stand, we are separated from the past. God sees us through the lens of the blood of Jesus. Could it be that this blind Bartimaeus could see much further ahead than anyone else in this crowd or even the disciples? I mean, we call him blind Bartimaeus, but I don't think he was blind. Because he called on this name, the name that is above all other names, that at the mention of his name, every knee would bow and circumstances would change. When he called on the name of Jesus, because he believed that somehow his condition would turn around, that he will no longer be put to shame, because for years he's been ashamed of this condition. I don't think That was his number one goal in life. To sit by the gates of Jericho and beg. I believe he wanted to do something different. He wanted to be significant again. He wanted to be recognized, not by the crowd, but he wanted to be recognized again by God himself. He wanted to get God's attention. And I believe many of you here this morning even, or even watching us, you've been looking for that place of significance. Where can I find this significance? Is it in my job? Is it with the people that I hang around with? The significance that we need to have is only found in Him. In Him. Not in the job, not in the people that we hang around with, not in social media, not in anything else, but in Jesus Himself. So that day, he called on that name. He called on that name of Jesus. And because he called on the name of Jesus, Jesus stopped, turned around, and looked at him and put him in right standing with God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, "For he," talking about God the Father, "for he made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And that is Jesus. When Jesus stops for you, he takes your sins upon himself. In theology, we call this redemption. We call this redemption is when Jesus himself shows up and takes your sin upon himself. He redeems you. In a couple of weeks, that's exactly what we're going to be celebrating. It's redemption. Jesus bought you back. He bought you back so that you can have fellowship with him. So that you can be reconciled with God. The veil is no longer there. You can walk in and have communion with God himself. That veil has been torn because of redemption. You can walk in. That's redemption. When Jesus stops for you, he puts you in right standing with God. And that's called in theology justification. He justifies you. Justification is a gift from God. You don't have to work to get it. Guess what? Blind Bartimaeus did not have to work to get it. It was a gift from God. Justification carries no guilt, no shame, and certainly no memory of the past. No memory of the past. In Hebrews 10:17, it says, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember," what? "No more." No more. What a promise. What a promise. God is saying, whatever you've done in the past, I have erased. I will remember them no more. Now, this is something that I want you to hang on to. That's a promise that you need to hang on to. Because out of this truth hangs your eternal salvation. Because if it was not for this, guess what? You are in a trap. In a trap of the enemy where you have to perform in order to receive this salvation or to keep this salvation. It has nothing to do with you. It was a gift to start with. What makes you think that you have to work in order to keep it? If it was not a gift, it was a gift that you did not have to work to receive it. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. The moment you twist this around, you make salvation about works instead of a gift that you did not deserve, that you did not earn, that you could not pay for. It's the blood that redeems. If it redeemed you last year, well, guess what it's going to do today? Jesus is not going back for one more redemption. He's done it. He's done it. That's why Hebrews 10:17 says their sins and their lawless deeds, deeds are acts. Things that you're going to be doing, your deeds, I will remember no more. Without this truth, guess what? We cannot stand in the presence of God. Without this truth of that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we cannot stand in the presence of God. Because God cannot stand with us if there is sin. When God sees you, He sees the blood of Christ. That's why we can walk in boldly in the throne room of grace, whereby we may receive grace and mercy in time of need. We can walk in and be free. At this point, Bartimaeus recognized. His eyes, his spiritual eyes were already open. He was blind no more. Because he got a revelation of who this guy that was walking by really was. He knew that this guy can give me this kind of mercy from God that no one else can give. It is way beyond the alms that I can receive. I need life. I need eternal life. Abundant life. Life without end. I need this eternal life. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer. Guess what? Your name has been called. Be of good cheer. He's calling you. He's calling you. Rise, and he's calling you." And guess what he did? And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. The very first thing he did was to remove his coat. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing? I mean, why would he take off this coat? The very first thing he did was to throw aside his garment. He took off his coat. That coat was a special kind of coat. This coat is what we would call a government-issued coat. By this coat, you could identify him as a beggar. It was given to him. That was his legal claim to his identity as a beggar. Without this coat, he had no legal right to sit by the gates of Jericho to beg for money. Because really, that was his job. That was his only way to make ends meet and to put food on his table, was to beg. So the government of the time issued him a coat that would set him apart from everyone else. He was legally a beggar. But the very first thing that he did was to remove that coat. You know what he did not want? It's not like he wanted to see physically. He just didn't want to beg anymore. Isn't that crazy? He didn't just say, can I get my sight back? Can I see? That was not his very first thing. He took the coat out because he said, can I not beg anymore? I don't want to beg anymore. I want to be free. I want to be free. He took off that coat. He threw it to the side. Because he wanted a new identity. He didn't want to be identified as a beggar anymore. He wanted to identify himself with the King of Kings. He wanted a new coat, a coat of righteousness. So in verse 51, Jesus asked him a question. Like I believe Jesus would be asking you this morning. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. This time Jesus addressed, Bartimaeus addressed Jesus as Rabboni. That same name that Mary used after the resurrection. Rabboni. Because after the resurrection, Mary turned around and Jesus was standing behind her. And she addressed Jesus as Rabboni. Rabboni means teacher, master. But it goes on much deeper than just teacher or master. Rabboni means my Lord. It is very personal. My Lord. I believe Bartimaeus at this point had already accepted Jesus as his Lord. Now, he could have asked for anything at this point. He could have asked for money. He could have asked Jesus, could you do something? Could you preach on stewardship? Because these guys right here, they don't get it. They don't get it. I've been doing this for years. They just don't give. Could you teach something? I'll be set for life. But he did not. Bartimaeus asked to receive his sight. I just want to see. He knew right here he could see. Because he recognized, even as a blind man, that Jesus was the Son of David. The Messiah. He could see this right here. But now he's asking Jesus for something different. Can I see? Can I see? I want to see people. I want to see colors. I want to have a life. I don't want to watch people pass me by. I want to see. And in verse 52, Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." His faith started with a cry. Remember? With a shout. He called on the name of Jesus. But his faith right here became something else that unlocked his miracle. The miracle that he wanted. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Let me ask you a very important question this morning. If you were blind, maybe not physically, perhaps you've been blind to his love. Maybe you've been blind to his mercy. You've been blind to his grace. You've been blind to his forgiveness. And Jesus today heals you. He not only heals you, but he restores you. Where now you become aware of his grace, of his mercy, of his forgiveness. You become aware of life, eternal life. What would you do? What would you do if all of a sudden you recognize that God himself has touched you, has restored you, has opened up the eyes right here where you can recognize his grace, his mercy? What would you do? Would you follow him? Would you follow him? Would you go anywhere where he tells you to go? Would you do anything that he wants you to do? I want you to reflect on this as we take communion. Would you stand? In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man," that will be the Son of David, that will be Jesus, that will be the Messiah, "He came to seek and save those who are lost." Jesus stopped by today just for you. Just for you. He stopped by today just for me. Just for me. And guess what? Jesus will keep on stopping by just for you. Over and over again. In Luke 22:19, he did something different, something new, something that was not expected. Because after he left Jericho, that's where he went. He went to Jerusalem and he asked his disciple, "Find me a room." Now we call this the upper room. Said, "This is where I want to talk to you. This is where I want to sit down and have a meal with you." And in the upper room, he did this. He took the bread. He took the bread. He broke it. And he handed over to his disciple. And he said, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you take and eat? And likewise, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Would you take and drink? I believe Jesus is stopping by just for you this morning. Let's pray as we close. If you're here this morning and you've never made that commitment to Him, you've never given your life to Christ, you've never called on His name, would you do that right now? Just call on the name of Jesus. It can be a loud shout or it can be just a whisper. He's listening. He's close to you. Just say, Jesus, would you stop by right now in my life? Jesus, would you take away my sin? Give me a new life. Give me a new identity in you. Jesus, I'm letting go of my past. And I'm embracing this new life in you. Without guilt, without shame, without condemnation. Do something new in me today. Now you've got Jesus' attention. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. As we keep on worshiping right now, if you got any prayers, anything that is on your heart, any kind of burden that you want to come and you need prayer for something, please don't leave this place without being prayed for. Peter, Jessica, and all of us here, we're going to be here ready to pray for you. Don't leave.